All right, so as we begin our 53rd year of ministry, and as we begin YAG, I'll be the first to lead in singspiration. So I've chosen a song. It's a new song. I think not many of you know this song. I'm Not My Own. I heard it at youth worship. How many of you know this song? Wow, not bad, huh? You can come out and be the praise singers later. Okay, why I chose this song is partly a very nice song, but partly what we are going to learn today also. What we are created to be, and that's something for us to think about. Okay, so in this song, just look at the lines, right? It says, "The one who made the heavens make my heart and soul. Before I drew a breath, I was loved and known. I am his creation, the maker's masterpiece. And all that he designs will be done in me. My body is the temple of the living God. I worship in his house, in this house that his blood has bought. As I bear his image, oh, may I not profane the holiness I hold in this earthly frame. I belong to the Lord. Oh, I'm not my own." Now, I'd like you to turn with me to a passage just before we take this song. And that is 1 Corinthians 6:19. And just let me read it for you. And I was just meditating on this passage as to how do we look at our body. So we're going to talk about the physical body a little bit. And then later on, we'll talk a little bit more about how do we look at ourselves as a spiritual being in that sense. So let's just read. So the context really has to do with different kinds of problems that the Corinthian church and SSS 2, we are actually going into this book. And there are many problems. Problems about people suing each other. Problems of even sexual immorality and so on and so forth, about idolatry. And part of the temple worship that the Corinthian church did was actually there was even prostitution and things like that. Now, let's look at verse 19. And it says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So, a few things that for us to take note, and I thought it's important because we all struggle with all kinds of difficulties, sin, and even with regards to the physical body. So the first thing that I'd like to highlight is for us, when we think about the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's something for us to really bear in mind. Secondly, and that is we belong to the Lord. The body belongs to the Lord, right? And you are not your own, right? Thirdly, you are bought at a price. You are blood bought. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, the shedding of his blood, we are bought. Right? "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit." The best response that we can have is to glorify God. So I was just meditating on these thoughts, right? The body, temple of the Holy Spirit, we belong to the Lord. We are bought at a price through Christ. Best response. Let's glorify God. So even as we take this song, right, it is really being able to recognize what we've been created for, what our bodies have been created for. And we want to be able to recognize that actually we belong to the Lord. It's a thought for us to consider even as we take this song together. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, let's pray and then we can look at today's text. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you that you have created us for a purpose, that we belong to you, that our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will help us to continue to recognize what you meant for us, what you have planned for us to be. We ask that you will continue to lead us, that we can glorify your name, that we can live for you. We pray that you continue to enlighten us even as we study your words. May we understand that much more of what it means to be wise and just before you. Bless our time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Now let's just review a little bit. And last week we were looking at this idea of how wisdom can bring about strength, right? And we talked about how when there's understanding, when there's greater wisdom, we can be better than 10 rulers of the city. Now, it's important for us to look, even when you look at rulers and government, it's not about just being smart. There are many people who are smart, right? Scholars can be smart, and so on and so forth. But the question is not about just being smart. It is about being able to be wise, right? To have wisdom. So it doesn't mean that you are smart. You can be book smart, you can be exam smart, and everything else. But are we truly wise? Right? So that's something that you have to bear in mind. So you look at America, you have so-called smart people in government, but some of them haven't the faintest idea of what's happening, right? You have someone who, this guy, he is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He is in charge of the health ministry over in the U.S., and he is undoing many things that have been done to protect people in the U.S., concerning, you know, all kinds of diseases and even COVID, because they are anti-vax. And so there's a big problem. So you can be smart, but whether you are wise, that's another thing. Now, the third thing is whether you can be wise, but whether you are just. That's another question. So you can be smart, but you're not wise and just. But you can be smart and wise, but you may not be just. So that's what Solomon is trying to raise here. And we want to be able to think it through lots more as we look at verse 23. Okay, I'm going to take the whole section, right? And then next week we'll look at chapter 8. Okay, let's look at verse 23. And he says, "All this I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me." Now, so Solomon is a little bit more candid here. He says, right, he has sought to prove things by wisdom through his experience, through observations, through his personal thoughts, and even his own wisdom. I will be wise, right? Now, generally, of course, his goal is to look at being wiser, to have greater knowledge, understanding. Yet, at the same time, he recognizes that there is a certain amount of limitation, right? I will be wise, but it was far from me. So sometimes, certain things can be easier to understand, but there are things that are far harder to comprehend, far harder to have the kind of wisdom to understand what is happening. So part of the problem is that many people turn to all kinds of sources for wisdom and understanding. And everybody turns to ChatGPT now, right? Well, quite, to a certain number, right? Now, I don't know whether I mentioned this, but there was this guy who turned to ChatGPT for counseling, right? And along the way, he became suicidal, and he asked ChatGPT to plan his death. So in the end, he committed suicide, 16-year-old boy. And the parents now suing ChatGPT concerning this. It's crazy that people would turn to things like that for counsel, and that becomes a real problem, right? Now, so Solomon, he recognized, let's look at verse 24. As for that which is far off and exceedingly deep, who can find it out? So he recognizes he has a limitation also, right? As king, he knew a lot of things, but there were certain things that were far off that he didn't know about. Things that were exceedingly deep, too deep for him to comprehend at this point in time. And he felt that no one would be able to search it out. So it's recognizing that there's a need for wisdom, but there's so much and no more that you can so-called attain, at least from Solomon's standpoint. Okay, now let's move on very quickly. In verse 25, he goes on to say, I applied my heart to know, to search and seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. So he applied his heart. There's that pursuit of wisdom, right? To know, to search, to seek out, and to find the reason of things. You know, why things happen the way they do. So he observes and he recognizes, okay, why? What is the reason behind this? How do I understand this? And sometimes it's not easy to come to a conclusion. And he sees, right, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. That's his focus. So he applies his heart in seeking wisdom, and yet he recognizes it's not something that can be easily attained. Right? We all need wisdom. We need wisdom in our work. We need wisdom to make decisions. We need wisdom to plan things. We all need wisdom. But yet, at the same time, this was something that was very much lacking. He didn't understand. Right? As much as king, he knew many things. But there were things that were too hard for him to understand. Now, let's go back to, let's go back to Proverbs 1 just very quickly. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more about Proverbs 1. But let's just look at what he wrote before, right, concerning his approach. And in verse 7, we read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then we also read in verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Right? So the question is, where is the fear of the Lord? He mentioned about the fear of the Lord, right? Going back to Ecclesiastes 7, verse 18. It is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Okay? And, you know, these are things that Solomon wrote about, Solomon did think about, but did he really have this fear of the Lord? And sometimes when we look at life, when we look at the things that we go through, what we observe, do we really have the fear of the Lord? See, so we can be smart, but are we really wise? Do we have that wisdom? But yet at the same time, what Solomon is looking for is not just wisdom. Do we have that kind of life that is truly just? Right? And something that he's searching for. But he recognizes that it's not easily found. A man who is truly just and righteous, right, is something that we want to think about. Okay, that is something for us to think about. Now, let's look at this next section, which is a little bit more interesting, which has to do with women. So, not that we want to be against women or anything like that, but this is something that we want to just study a little bit more and to think about it. Okay, so when it comes to a view of life, a view of even women, we have to understand Solomon's context, right? He has 700 wives and 300 concubines. Okay, so what's that all about, right? And I think through experience, he would have a certain understanding. Now, of course, we are not going to generalize women. But I think there are a number of things for us to think about, especially even for you ladies, okay? Now, his understanding of women is that it's really about self. Okay, it is the problem of self-serving and what is beneficial to them. That is his perspective. And this is something that he has experienced, something that we want to at least think about. Okay, let's look at verse 26. Okay. And I find more bitter than death. Wow. Look at his perspective already. Just to, right? The woman whose heart is snares and nets. Wow. Whose hands are fetters. Not that they are fat or anything, right? He who pleases God shall escape from her. But the sinner shall be trapped by her. Wow, this is a description from Solomon concerning women, right? And it takes a man who, you know, a man of faith, a man who pleases God, to escape, right, from such women. So there is that wicked woman who is out to ensnare, to trap you. Hands are fetters. Wow. Okay. And then you have verse 27 and 28. Here is what I found, said the preacher. Okay. It also, when we think about women for a while. Okay. This question, of course, will go to women. What do you think? Solomon's perspective. Is there any truth in it? Or not? Right? I'll come to what he's trying to bring across in a while. Okay? Why did he have all these women actually? Anybody can tell me. Why so many women? Don't know. I wouldn't ask the man because how much do they know about women, right? Okay, Davina, what do you think? Carry the mic, sorry. Do you disagree with Solomon? Do you agree that... Okay, let's go back to... right? I find more bitter than death. You know what that means, right? Already death is something that, you know, we talked about, is something that is full of sorrow and everything, but he considers even worse. More bitter, right, than death is women whose heart is snares. And okay. What do you think?
He wants control. I don't know.
He wants what?
Control.
Control. Well, yeah, he's losing control.
And because of that, he's lost.
Right?
I don't know.
Don't know. What do you think his perspective of women is? What do you think his perspective of women is at this point?
That they are difficult.
They're difficult, yeah, correct. It's not easy for them, for him, right? So they are difficult. What else?
And demanding.
Demanding.
But that's because there's so many.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, of course. But, you know, so you have issues. The truth is out. Okay, Alvi, what do you think? What do you think his perspective is?
I don't know, just a very negative.
Negative, right?
View of women.
Now, I mean, of course, we don't, not that we are trying to agree with him, we are just trying to understand. Right, Sharma, what do you think?
It sounds more like a lesson for men than for women, though.
Why do you say that?
Because he is saying, be a man who fears God, and then you will escape from all these. As in, the lesson doesn't sound...
Actually, it's for all, lah. It's for all, really? Okay. There's a point to all these things, but what do you think? Yeah, so the thing is, you know, when you okay, let's look at the next part here. And he says here, so he talks about that, right? And then this, in a way, is what he has found, right? Verse 27, here is what I found, says the preacher, adding one thing to the other to find out the reason why which my soul still seeks, but I cannot find. What is he looking for, actually? He says here, one man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. What's he finding, actually? What's he finding? Right? And this is something that he's looking for. So he can have wives, concubines. It could be for all kinds of reasons. It could be for economic reasons. It could be for political reasons. Right? And one of the reasons is that he's looking to discover, he's looking for someone who is good and just. And in his experience, out of 1,000 men, he only found one. Out of 1,000 women, he is not able to find any. So Solomon is not wrong here, no. Solomon is trying to look for that good, upright, wise, just person. And he's recognizing that among many, he's not finding it. Right? So ultimately, we come to verse 29. Truly, this only I found, that God made men upright, but they have sought out many schemes. So whether it is men or women, right? What are we created to be? We are created to be upright. We are created to be just, but they have sought out many schemes. Many schemes. Meaning that when you look at men, when you look at women, they are scheming. So anyway, very interestingly, I was talking to someone a lady from church, okay? I won't say who. But anyway, I was just having a conversation with her. And along the way, she didn't know that I was going to talk about this. And she said, you know, women are very scheming. She actually said that. I of course didn't just agree or disagree. But women can be. Now, I'm not trying to generalize, but I'm trying to say there is a part of us that we need to be a little bit more concerned and cautious about. Right? There's that cunningness. There is that self. There is that self-serving part. There is that part in which one can take advantage of. And we need to be very careful about this. Right? And that's part of the problem. So this person, I actually told the person subsequently, she mentioned it, and I say, okay, actually, I'm actually going to talk about this at YAG. Say, oh, go ahead. But it may be true. Right? And sometimes, so look, I recognize that we don't want to generalize. But I think for us, we want to be able to be that much more aware, to be aware of ourselves, to be aware of others, and what men, even though we've been created to be upright, what man, because of sin, is capable of. Right? I mean, you look at all the scams that's happening. You look at, you know, and there was this report just this week about 500 million, is it? Yeah, 500 million that has been scammed in Singapore this, you know, so far this year. Something like that. And there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money that's been hard-earned but scammed. And that's the kind of problems that people face. Why am I thinking about this? You know, so we talk about God's creation. We talk about what we've been created to be in terms of body, but yet in terms of our life, our personal life, our spiritual life, we are created to be upright. And we want to be able to think about that. Okay, what do you think? You totally disagree? Agree? Okay, Alina, what do you think? Speak up for women's rights.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I recognize what he's trying to say, but to be honest, when I first read it, I was thinking, huh, it's rich of him to say that. It's not like he was... I feel like it was rich of him to say that because he's not like the perfect man too. Like, as we understand Solomon, and can he really
correct.
Find one?
Yeah, correct. He's not a perfect man also, correct. But as we have observed, right, even though he is not the perfect man, and then he's sometimes good, sometimes also good, he does make good observations, or at least to some extent.
I guess.
I mean, we unwillingly say.
I mean, yeah. Right? But yes, something for us to note.
No, so it is important for us to, as you say, note and to think it through further. And that's the you know, I think we all are capable. You can have all the discussion later, okay? But the point is that these are things that we want to be concerned about. Can men also scheme? Of course. Right? You like all the, you know, look at what Trump is doing, all the things that he's doing, look at all the wars that's happening, look at all the evil that's out there. Who is upright? Tell me. Can you truly find one who is smart, wise, and just and upright? is difficult. But yet at the same time, it is what we want to be. What is it that we've been created to be? So yes, we recognize our limitations, sure. Right? And we humbly admit it. But yet at the same time, we want to pursue wisdom. We want to pursue wisdom in the fear of God. Right? And we'll talk about that a bit more next week. But let's look at this idea of God's original plan. We are meant to be upright. Okay, let's turn to Genesis for a while. Right? In Genesis 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. To our likeness. We are meant to be like God. Right? In His image. And oftentimes, because of sin, that image is lost. Okay. So Paul takes it up again. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness and holiness. That's the image of God. That is what we were meant to be. That is what we ought to be. What we've been created to be. So sometimes when we look at ourselves, we look at our lives, right? First, the body. Our body is not our own. It belongs to the Lord. It is blood bought. Yet at the same time, when we look at the mind, what is inside us, the spirit of your mind, it is meant to be renewed. It is meant to be made new. You are the new man which was created according to God. See? We must be able to recognize what we have been created to become. In true righteousness. Let me ask you, why did he need to put the word true? Isn't righteousness righteousness already? Why must put true righteousness? Because there are all kinds of so-called righteousness. And sometimes we can think that we, remember we talk about being overly righteous and so on and so forth. See, that is what we want to guard against. We want to be able to have true righteousness, true wisdom, and holiness. That is what we are meant to become, holy. Right? To pursue holiness. Okay? Another corresponding verse is actually Colossians. Right? Colossians chapter 3. Right? In verse 8. Now you yourself are to put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, all your, and we talk about anger, right? The spirit of anger, the spirit of patience. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. Again, the idea of the image of God, who created him. Renewed, renewed, renewed. I don't know how you find renewal. You notice that if we need to go from where we are Let's assume that we are not as upright, we are not as just, we are not as wise, and we want to find a way to get there. And we can be caught up. We can be caught up with our sins, we can be caught up with the ways of the world, we can be caught up with sin, and we can end up being angry, we can end up scheming, we can end up doing all kinds of things, right? Whether man or woman. And the thing is that if you want to move from there to the image of God, the image that we are meant to have, it takes renewal. There must come the renewal of the mind. There must come the renewal in knowledge, in the Word of God. Without that renewal, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you want to work on, it will never go beyond a certain level. It will always be same old, same old. You can try, you can attempt, right? Now, this affects your relationships, right? It affects your the way in which you live your life, your friendships, your marriage, it affects, right? And this is something that we want to think about. For me personally, I don't know whether you've been reading Grace Works, right? I've been writing a lot from a very personal standpoint concerning the church, concerning what I'm learning for myself. What is God writing upon my heart? And the way I write is that I find renewal in His Word. I see perspectives, I see why we do what we do, and I see a need. So next week, I wrote another article about how we really need wisdom. That the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, right, would really enlighten us, that our eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. Right? The eyes of your heart. The word understanding there is the word heart, kalia. So unless the renewal comes, unless that you will take time to relax, and the problem is that many of us are so busy, we are so caught up with so many things, even we go on breaks, we are still very busy doing so many other things that you don't take time to think through things well enough. You don't go beyond a certain level. And therefore, we are not renewed as we are. I'm not saying that we cannot or we are not doing this, but the renewal is something that would help us look at things very differently in mind, in heart, in spirit. And then we are able to take a greater step closer to having that image that we have been created by, for, right? That God made man upright. We are meant to be upright. And that's something for us to think about, something for us to consider. This is God's original plan. God's design for each and every one of us. God's design for us in our relationships. Right? And being able to bear that image is something for us to think about. Okay? So, don't get me wrong. I'm not putting down women or anything like that. Right? And I think we just want to think it through a little bit more. Okay? And I hope that you will have a good discussion. Don't fight with each other. Right? It's good that we are separated. But be honest. Be candid. Right? Deep down within your own heart, you know. You know. And it's something for us to think about. Okay? All right. Let's pray and then we can go into our groups. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you for your words once again. Help us, Lord, to be candid and open about what we are truly like. We like to think that we are pretty good, we are righteous, we are upright in our ways. But if we are open, we recognize that deep within us, we are not as upright as we are. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand all over again what we've been created to be in terms of our body, in terms of our life. Help us, Lord, to truly bear your image, to be renewed in the mind and in the knowledge of you, that we can truly live our lives in a way that you have planned us and designed us to be. We pray that even as we go into our groups, that it will be a time for us to interact with each other and to think this through further. May it be the time where we can truly be a blessing to each one. Pray also that you will bless this offering for your work. In Jesus' name we pray.